It gives me great pleasure this morning to welcome to our pulpit back to Mourne, Reverend Ralph Hall. Ralph will be a stranger to very few of you, as he has been here some years back. He is a minister in our Tyndale congregation. He's come this morning to speak of his calling to the land of Tasmania and to bring the word of God to us. We welcome him. Welcome two of his children also have come with him this morning. And we trust the Lord will bless our brother now as he brings God's word.
Well, it is very nice to be back in Mourne this morning. It's hard to believe it's 10 years since I was here assisting the Reverend Mercer before taking the call to Tyndale. And of course, we had just returned from Australia at that time. We had served the Lord in Lough for 2 years and then a further 6 months in Adelaide. And I suppose since that time, one question has been put to both my wife and myself on numerous occasions. And the question was this: would you ever consider going back to Australia? And I suppose we always tried to hedge our answers the best that we could. And we always sought to answer, well, if the Lord called us back again, we would be willing to go. And that's how we always sought to answer the question. With no direct leading about going back to Australia, but we always felt that if the Lord called us, that there would be a willingness for us to return. And so that's how we answered that question for the last 10 years or so. We've always maintained an interest in the work in Australia. We've always sought to keep contact with those that we met out there. And we always like to pray for the work in Lough especially, but also our other churches in Port Lincoln and Perth and of course Tasmania. They're always very much upon our hearts and in our times of prayer. At the start of the summer 2012, my wife and I began to consider the matter of the work in Australia again. We just had been talking amongst ourselves about it. We were looking at our family as they were growing up, and we came to the conclusion that if we were ever going to return to Australia, that now would be the opportune time. We realised that if we left it much longer, that we would be into GCSEs and A-levels and such things, and that would really prohibit us from taking up the challenge of going to Australia again. But that's as far as it went. We had decided that if we were ever going to return, it would have to be now, but never thinking much more about it until about 10 minutes after that conversation. A telephone rang, and it was the Reverend Harris, of course, is the chairman of our mission board. I remember my wife and I would just come to the conclusion if we were ever going to return to Australia, we would have to do it soon. But within 10 minutes, the telephone conversation took place and the Reverend Harris asked if we would consider going to Tasmania. Now, he had only a few weeks in mind, maybe 6 weeks or 2 months, but we certainly felt it providential that we had been considering it prayerfully, that the opportunity was now arising, and we asked him if he would give us time to consider the matter more fully and to seek direct leading from the Lord through his word about going to Tasmania, not for the 6 weeks that he had envisaged, but we put it to him that we might be willing to consider going, like we did previously, for 2 years. That's the length of a temporary working visa for Australia, and we felt that we were willing to commit to 2 years to take up the charge in Kingston, Tasmania. We prayed about it over the summer months, and we felt very much the Lord's leading in that regard, and we're very glad that not only was the mission board willing to approve our request, but our presbytery also. And so we're in the midst of making preparations to go to Tasmania. There's a two-stage process that was involved. Firstly, the church in Tasmania had to register in order to gain sponsorship to take on temporary workers from other countries. That has been approved. That first hurdle has now been completed. Now we're waiting for our own visa application to be approved, and that can be a lengthy process. But we would ask you to pray that the Lord would undertake in that regards, that the process might be finished more speedily perhaps than what we could ever have envisaged, and that the Lord would smooth the way for us to go to Kingston, Tasmania. We'd also ask you to pray for our family at large. We have four children, and of course that will necessitate taking them out of schooling here. They currently attend our Christian school in Portadown, and we're looking at schooling options in Kingston. That's where we're going to. There are some options available to us. There are a number of Christian schools in the area, but perhaps not until we get out there and see for ourselves will we know just exactly what it is that we'll have to do. So we do trust that you'll pray for us as a family, that the children especially will settle in quickly, and that the work might be blessed of the Lord in the days to come. I perhaps should have explained where Tasmania is, for the simple reason that people have asked me when I'm going to Tanzania, which is in Africa. But others asked me when we're going to Transylvania, which as far as I know is somewhere around Romania. We're going to Tasmania. It's about 100-150 miles south of Australia itself. It's a relatively large island. It's the 26th largest island in the world. It's similar in size to the Republic of Ireland, but it only has a population of around 500,000 people. So it's quite sparsely populated. The majority of the people are split in two, half of the population in the north of the island, the other half in around the Hobart area, which is the capital city, and we'll be just south of Hobart in Kingston. There's approximately 30-35 people attached to the work currently, but we do believe that there's much potential in the area. Certainly there have been more people in attendance at services over the years, and we'd very much like to see the church and the work built up, the Lord willing. So we ask you to take that work very much to heart, and that you'll pray for it, that the Lord will encourage the believers there, and we'll see much fruit even in the days that lie ahead. Now if you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark and to the chapter 16. Now I know some of you were at the meeting on Friday night at the Martyrs Memorial, and you'll already know that the Reverend Park took the Great Commission as his subject on that occasion. We're going to return to it again this morning, and I make no apology for that. We do believe this is the word the Lord has laid upon our hearts for today, and we're going to come and address the subject of missions and our part and our place within it, and ask the Lord to speak to us very clearly, very powerfully, as to what it is we ought to be doing in these days. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and we're going to break into the chapter, verse 9. Let's hear the word of God. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We'll end our reading there, and we'll seek the Lord's help in prayer for this time together. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy precious word. Thy word is truth. And we ask that thy truth will be written upon our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. And we pray that thy Holy Spirit, who has penned and preserved these words for us, will come and speak to us through them. Give help and aid in both the preaching and the hearing of thy word today, that we might walk in those pathways of righteousness, that we might bring glory and honor to the name of our precious Savior, and that in all things that he might receive the praise. Father in heaven, we ask that this day, that there will be glad tidings to share, and joy amongst the hearts of thy people, because the Lord himself has drawn nigh. Be pleased to speak to us through thy truth, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a wonderful truth that even the littlest of the children amongst us can very clearly and plainly recite to us, the words of John 3 and verse 16, that God so loved the world. How we love to proclaim that blessed truth, that the love of God reaches out to all men everywhere. Matters not whether they're black or white or red or brown or yellow. The love of God is extended to this world and to all kinds of peoples. There's not one place on the surface of this planet that was not upon the mind of Christ when he died upon the cross at Calvary. How wonderful it is to read in the scriptures of that day when that vast multitude which no man can number is assembled around the throne of God, and we're told that they're gathered out of every nation and kindred and people and tongue. And in light of God's love for this world, it's understandable that just before the Lord Jesus ascended back again to heaven, that he would commission his disciples and indeed commission us to tell the whole world about his so great love. He said to the disciples in verse 15 of Mark chapter 16, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And in these words we find a great truth, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of men. We find a great task to go and to tell others that the Savior has died. And a great target to reach the entire world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until the day that our Savior returns, every believer and every church is to be relentless in their efforts to reach the world with the gospel of our Savior. Our message is the gospel. Our mission is to preach that glorious message. Our method is to go to those who have never heard and tell them. My aim, my objective this morning is to help each and every one of you see that the commission that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples involves every church and every believer. James Herbert Kane, in his book The Making of a Missionary, said, "Our God is a missionary God. The Bible is a missionary book. The gospel is a missionary message. The church is a missionary institution. And when the church ceases to be missionary minded, it has denied its faith and betrayed its trust." Essentially, the church has many responsibilities, but only one mission: the evangelization and the discipling of all nations. You know, it's been well said that the mark of a great church is not its seating capacity, but its sending capacity. A church that is not focused And the evangelizing of the world is a church that's not founded on the Word of God. Missions and world evangelization is not some supplemental or additional part of the church's program. It's the fundamental part. No church can really call itself a church of Jesus Christ if it is not seeking to reach the world with the gospel. Every Christian, and I stress that every single Christian within our churches, they are personally to be involved with Christ's command to bring the gospel to every creature. Henry Martin, the great English missionary of a past generation, said, "The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of missions, and the nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we become." It's that personal involvement I want to focus on this morning. And I want you to notice firstly, the Word of God that commands our going. What it is that we have to do. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." These words are commonly known to us as the Great Commission. And the word commission simply means a command. It's the Savior's command to His people. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not the great request, nor is it the great recommendation. It's not even the great suggestion. It is the great command of Christ. The Great Commission. Go. Go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Someone has said that the word go is 2/3 of the word God. 1/3 of the word gospel. That we cannot serve God without going. That we cannot preach the gospel without going. This is the command that has been given to us. Go ye. And it is obedience to this command that starts with an understanding of what God wants the world to hear, the gospel of Christ. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 13 that the field is the world. God our Father would have this world to know that His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this world, lived amongst men, died upon a cross for sinners to save them from their sins. Go ye into all the world and preach that gospel. Go ye. We are to go. Yes, it's a particular command to go, but it's a very personal command. It's go ye. Each and every person is to go. To go and preach the gospel. This command tells me what I am to be. David Livingstone said God had only one son, and he was a missionary. The Son of God was a missionary, and the sons of God are to be missionaries also. Go ye. This verse tells us what I am to be and what I am to do. I'm to win people to Christ. Proverbs 11 and verse 30 tells us that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Just as someone told you about the Savior and told me about the Savior, so then we in turn must tell others about the Savior. I don't know if you noticed or not in the verses that we read, but when it was revealed to Mary Magdalene that Christ was risen, she went and told others. And then we read of the Lord Jesus appearing in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it. Those that know the gospel are then obligated to go and tell the gospel. to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what one of the saddest excuses that people use today when it comes to this command about going and preaching the gospel? They say, I've never been called. I've never been called to preach the gospel. Let me share with you the words of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. When he was presented with this excuse, never been called, he says, not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, the agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful cry for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters, their servants and masters, not to come here. Then look in the face of Christ. Christ, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world. There is a call, a command to go. The question is, have you obeyed that command? We are commanded to go. Not only are we commanded to go, but we ought to know why we are commanded to go. There is the need of the world that requires our going. The Word of God commands it, and the need of the world requires it. Go into all the world, the Savior said. Oswald Chambers said that when the Spirit of God comes into a man, he gives him a worldwide outlook. That's what being missionary-minded is, having a worldwide outlook. Looking beyond our own community and our own towns and our own cities and looking upon the field of the world and seeing the need. The message of God's salvation is that this world is loved by God, but this world is also lost before God. We love to speak of our God being a God of love, but we need to be reminded, beloved, that he's also a God of wrath. Psalm 9 tells us, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. In Psalm 96 we read, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. You see, there's a problem with this world. It's the problem of sin. And everywhere we go on this planet, we find sin rampant, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a universal problem. A world without Christ is a world without hope. It's a world that's lost before God. All men everywhere are sinners. We need to realize the tragic destiny that awaits those that are outside of Christ. Again, we read in the book of Psalms that the wicked shall be turned into hell and the nations that forget God. Why do we as a church make missions a priority? Why is it that missionaries leave family and friends to serve the Lord in distant lands? It's because the peoples of this world are lost and dying and on their way to hell. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14, we read the words, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Every day, the population of hell increases by the thousands. Statistics tell us that there are approximately 8.78 deaths per 1,000 people each year. And considering our world's population is somewhere around 6.5 billion people, that means that 56 million people will die each year. That's 135,000 people every day. And out of those thousands, we wonder how many die lost to God. Truly, hell enlarges itself every day. Literally, day by day, thousands of people are going to a lost eternity. Within the hour of the service, 6,500 people will have died throughout this world. They need to hear. That's what missions is all about. Telling a world that is lost and dying and separated from God that Christ died to save. That's why we go into all the world. If there's anything that ought to motivate the church and the individual Christian to be missionary-minded, it's the eternal destiny of those that die without Christ under the wrath of God. To see the great need and realize that we have the answer to all of their problems. To go and tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Robert Moffat, the great missionary, said, "Oh, that I had 1,000 lives and 1,000 bodies, all of them would be devoted to no other employment but to preach Christ to these degraded, despised, yet beloved mortals." David Brainerd said, "I cared not where or how I lived, or what hardships I went through, so I but could gain souls for Christ." Do we have a passion for the souls of men? Do our hearts burn within us when we think of those that are lost and dying without Christ? We are to have a missionary outlook. The heart of the Christian ought to be 25,000 miles in circumference. We are to love the world for Christ. What are we to do? We are to go. Why are we to go? Because the world needs to hear. Tell me, how are we going to go? How do we go and preach the gospel to every creature? We all have a part to play. The question before us is, what is the will of God for my life? What is my place within God's missionary program? How can I make a difference in the missionary work of our church? How can I go? It was Robert Moffat that touched the heart and life of David Livingstone and influenced him to become a missionary. Robert Moffat was home in furlough and was speaking at a meeting when Livingstone approached him and asked him if it was possible that he might be used in missionary work in Africa. Robert Moffat turned to him and said, "Yes, particularly if you will not go to an old station but will push into unoccupied fields." And then he said these words, "In the north, I have seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been." Beloved, there are yet places around the world where people have never heard that message that Jesus died to save sinners. There are yet places where missionaries have never stood and preached Christ. And that failure rests entirely on those who have heard but have never gone. Each and every one of us are to be involved in this preaching the gospel to every creature. How we are to be involved is determined by God's will for our life. I don't believe that it's God's will that every person leave their home and go to the mission field. Let me share with you what Oswald Smith said. He said, "You must go or else send the substitute in your place. You must go or send the substitute in your place." Some will go substitutionally. That means that they will go through the person that they have sent in their place. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 14 and 15, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Missionaries must be sent. And they are sent through the giving of God's people. There are those who are sent, and there must be those who do the sending. So if you have not been sent, then you are to send. You are to send through your giving. And through your giving, you go substitutionally. You go through someone else. God would have you make a difference to the missionary work. And for the majority within this place, I suppose that will mean that you will make a difference through your giving, through your sending others in your place. And since each and every one of us have been called to go, the question is not whether I should give to missions. The question is, how much should I give? Let me share these observations with you. And the question was asked, how much should I give to the missionary offerings? He said, "If I refuse to give anything to the missionary offering this year, I practically am casting a vote in favor of recalling every missionary home from the field if I give nothing. If I give less than what I gave before, I favor the reduction of the missionary work. If I give the same as I gave formerly, I favor merely holding the ground that we've already won, but with no further progress. If I increase my offering beyond former years, then I favor an advancement and a conquest of new territory for Christ." Tell me, what does your giving say about how you feel about missionary work? Is your giving a vote to recall the missionaries from the field? Is it a vote for a reduction in their work? Is it an indication that you favor an advancement and a winning of souls for Christ? When we understand that we have been called to go, if we have not been sent, then we are to send. And our giving to missions is more than just having an interest in them. It's more than just loving to hear the missionary stories. It's an act of obedience that we, through our giving, send others and in turn go into all the world and preach the gospel. Some will go substitutionally. Others will go personally. It is yet the will of God that some will go personally as missionaries. Could it be even within this church this morning that there are some here today that God wants you not just to be a giver, but to be a goer, to go to the mission field? In all truthfulness, when you consider the great commission that binds us to Christ, that commands us to go, realizing that there are yet millions that have never heard the message of our Savior, we ought not to be automatically assuming, "Well, I'll just give to missions." We should all start with the assumption that we ought to go to the mission field? Has God been speaking to your heart about giving your life as a missionary? The Apostle Paul spoke of giving ourselves as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Is God calling you to go? It's the highest honor that could be bestowed upon you. It may not be a knighthood from Her Majesty, but it's a far higher honor than that. It's been well said, if God calls you to preach the gospel, don't stoop to be a king. Some will go substitutionally. I trust that there will be some here that will go personally. But we all must go prayerfully. You must pray for the work of our missions. Let me finish with this little poem that I found. Trust that the Lord will speak to you through it. Last night, I took a journey to a land across the seas. I didn't go by ship or plane. I traveled on my knees. I saw so many people there in bondage to their sin. Jesus told me I should go, that there were souls to win. But I said, Jesus, I can't go to lands across the seas. He answered quickly, yes, you can, by traveling on your knees. He said, you pray, and I'll meet the need. You call, and I will hear. It's up to you to be concerned for lost souls far and near. And so I did. I knelt in prayer, gave up some hours of ease, and with the Savior by my side, I traveled on my knees. As I prayed on, I saw souls saved and twisted persons healed. I saw God's workers' strength renewed while laboring in the field. I said, yes, Lord, I'll take the job. Your heart I want to please. I'll heed your call and swiftly go while traveling on my knees. I trust that you will give to the work of missions. I trust that you will go to the mission field. I trust that you will pray for the advancement of the Lord's kingdom, and precious souls won to Christ. And if you cannot go personally, go substitutionally and go prayerfully. And may the Lord be pleased to bless the work in His kingdom for His own name's sake. And precious souls won to Christ. Amen.
Bow our heads in a word of prayer in closing. We thank God's servant bringing His word to our heart this morning, a word of challenge. Do pray for him and his family as they would set their heart for Tasmania. Pray that the Lord would overrule even the documentation that is still to come forth. He might have the visa that is needed at this time. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. Lord, how it comes to challenge every one of God's people. We thank Thee for the great command, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We praise Thee, Lord, we have a message to tell. It is of a risen Savior, one who died unto sin once, but liveth again unto God. We thank Thee, Lord, but a message that sinful men need to hear. That message is able to give them life. And we pray, Lord, that we might be faithful in our giving, in our praying. Lord, we pray even from this congregation, there might be those who know the hand of God upon them, sending them forth personally themselves. O Lord, speak on, we pray, when the preacher's voice is silent. Do part us with thy blessing and thy fear. Give us a blessed Sabbath, O God. May the tide of blessing rise even tonight. Keep us, Lord, with our thought upon Christ. For it's in his name we ask and we pray these things.